Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power
and love as I sing,
holy, 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 high and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as I sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 holy,
and
I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see you. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3 and then to John 1, Revelation 3, verse 14, and then we'll go to John 1. Yeah. We had a real good time last weekend. Wade and I dedicating Brother Forney's church and everything. Got a nice little building there that they can increase it some if they need and everything. But it's really, really comfortable and should be, be able for them to have church in it. It's maybe 50, 60 right now. They can change a little bit and do some, but we had a good time. It's on the internet, the church, website, YouTube. So if you want to watch it, you can click on there and watch it and see how we do it in dedicating a church and all. So just, we thank you for everything. We thank the ministers for taking over and all while we've been missing on some of these and, different things. We've done it. It's been kind of an odd thing to me because we went from everything from, let's see, which come first? We went to a wedding and a funeral and then dedicating of a church. So we've been traveling and doing and all of these things and had a good time doing it and pray that we've done the best we could do. But it turned out real good in each one of the cases. But remember that. Just keep remembering my wife. She still has trouble breathing. She'll be okay for a little while and then it'll hit her and strike her and she has trouble breathing through her nose. She can still breathe pretty good through her mouth, but it's through her nose and all. It feels like cotton, she said, stuck up there. But at least we're opened enough to where that they can now get in to she's being able to go see doctors that can help this situation, and all like that because that's just a hangover part. But just keep praying for her. Amen. The Lord would bless her and everything and all of that. Amen. Now we're going to try, if you want to, we're going to try this coming weekend to have a number two stage or phase of what we generally do. And if you remember, that was that everybody's welcome to come, but you have to sit according to the pews and the way they are and sit not real close. Now you can do it if you like a family can sit together if you want to that way, and all, but not, the rest of it and just use it in downstairs. We're going to have the open downstairs and open up here for you to be able to seat and do. All right. Now we're going to put one thing into stage. This is from us, but, mainly to say from myself, I'm asking us if we would all please wear masks. All right, now I'm meaning while we're here. I'm meaning while you're in the church. I'm meaning while the service is going on. That's what I mean. Wear them inside or outside. You know, we're trying to do a little bit to where when we leave here now and going outside, we put the mask on. And but let's put it the whole thing, just have to wear a mask the whole time that we're here. All right? And that way it won't give any problems. We should cover all of the things. And, you know, then when you go outside, make sure you just wear the mask all the time you're here on the property, inside the building, outside the building, and all to do, and it'd be mandatory for everybody to do. Now, this would be hard for the preacher because it'd be muffled out and things, so that won't be required for the preacher to do. You know, we'll kind of set that aside. And the song leader to where that you can be clear enough to understand, okay? We're not trying to be too much, but we'll do it that way. But as quick as you minister or song leading, you go sit down, put the mask on. All right. You understand? We're just going to try to go that away and see how it works out. And all, if it does, we'll keep increasing. Possibly we will announce it Sunday, but we may try to take communion the next Sunday. If we do, we'll try to arrange something. Either we can make it inside or we can make it where that we can just line up outside and walk out to church and take communion as you're going out. Yeah. You know, whatever we can do, we'll try to, cause, you know, everybody wants to go to church and get back in church because that's part of it. I like to be in church but we're going to try to do the best we can to follow and do it on the grounds. Don't hug and do everything, you know, try to keep everything. What is that word? Distances. I never did understand why they call it social, because you know, social distance. Social means you would get together. Distance. Okay, no problem. But just remember that. But we do truly thank Brother Luis there the last Wednesday, then Brother Bob and Brother Aaron for Sunday services, and I think they've done a marvelous job. It was, you know, good services, all three of them. I really enjoyed it, and all three of them related to each other, and we're still right on the same thing, because you're going to pick that up tonight and just keep going with it and praying that God would bless all of us. Anything else? I'm thinking that's basically where it's covering the whole thing. Okay. We're going to try what we can. Revelations 3:14 and John 1:14-18. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for everything. And we just ask you, Lord, to be with us and help us. We're trying our best to do everything we can in the physical realms and things of life to try to not aggravate these things and try to bring on these situations. We're doing the best we can, Lord, and doing that and trying to be able to come to church and have a good time. We ask you that you just reach down and touch all of these that are sick. And Lord, remember her wife, remember Richard, remember the different ones. Many was named tonight, and just have your way. Some, Lord, they've been sick for quite a while, and we pray that you would just reach down and touch each one in your love and your grace. Maybe we can get back together and have more fellowship into the church and things, and that will be able to bring you on the scene in our hearts and lives, because you did promise it. You said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, you'd be in the midst. So as we gather a few more people coming in and fellowshipping together around thy word, we pray that you would just come on the scene and touch each one. Forgive our sins, lead us by thy grace and love, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been on this. We'll probably be using this for a while, but I knew that would do that. I'm losing my eyes. Yeah. I don't need them anyway. I can run out of one's eye. That's the way glasses do. Okay. Revelation 3:14. Okay, what are we on? What is the beginning? We're in the beginning of creation, part 2. Now we're going to talk about tonight more on what is the beginning. All right. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now let's go to John 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. In his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God. Now notice that and keep it in mind. No man hath seen God at any time. All right. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want us to stick with it tonight a little more because of what we spoke on the last time in trying to do. Remember what we were talking about? We're going to have three parts or three stages, whatever you want to call it. Part one is seeing Almighty God and how he manifests himself, how he comes into being to where we can comprehend. All right. And then we'll move into the second stage, which will be into the Word dwelling with us and the Son coming down to where that we can comprehend that. And then we will get to the bride of Jesus Christ and all. Because we're dealing with what? All God was. Now, how many times did the prophet say that? All God was poured into Christ. All Christ was poured into to the church. And to take her back to the Garden of Eden, the threefold purpose of Christ as a mystery. All right? Now, how have we tried to cover that? Remember, all God was poured into Christ. Well, does that mean there's no more God? You know. All right? See, then you move it to states, all God was poured into Christ. Well, okay. No more God. Then you take all Christ poured into the church. Is there no more Christ? See, that's what I'm saying. The words we use are the hardest thing to try to comprehend with. I don't know where you'd say that right or not. But, you know, it's hard to communicate because our minds are the way they are. All right. We think, well, oh, we're doing good. I don't see why in the world anybody couldn't understand that. Well, why does a theologian teach a Trinity? Now, I'm talking about, you know, a theologian, a highly educated, trained person who knows all of the Greek, the Hebrew, the thing. But why does he come up with a Trinity out of the Word of God when it is not even in the Word? At all. All right? And see, then you look at it like that and you begin to think about that our problems is our mind, our comprehension of wordings, you know, and things. It messes us up. You say, well, now, we should all say, well, that's true. Now, like I've always said, and it's a crazy way of saying it, but you can go overseas and you can see different languages and different people and all like that. But you know what little bit that I've been overseas, I never detected the dogs barking in Spanish and you know, you understand? I've never heard a dog bark in Spanish. I don't understand why. See, maybe the dog has some more ability to communicate than we do because he doesn't do that. But yet the people speak to him in Spanish, right? And they will train him and he'll comprehend in Spanish because that's just a part of doing it. But to start with, he doesn't bark. The bark don't change because it's the same. All right. Now, what was our main point? Like I said, then we're studying what all God was. We're going to see how that's poured into Christ. All right. Then how Christ is poured into the church. And we'll see then that that is the way to understand how we're going back to the Garden of Eden or to be fully redeemed. All right. Now, so What was the main point that we were trying to make on our lives, which was the first message of this? We're talking about beginning of creation. Because we read there, you'll get to that later. See, I'm using it in to where it'll match up. See, when you come to the beginning of the creation of God, you've moved over a stage or two that, you know, that you need to have understanding how you got there. All right. So we're taking what the prophet said and the wordings he says and then applying that to where we're at and what we're doing to understand. All right. Now, we know that there in the Old Testament, when he came forth, he was the I am. He said, I am that I am. That was to be his name forever. All right. Now, I am means ever present for eternity. But you just don't pray and say, I pray thee in I am. I pray thee in I am. No. Well, we're smart enough to understand we're told to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, ask anything in my name. We're to pray in that name. Why? Because that name is the I am. You're recognizing him as that I am. The ever-present for eternity is speaking to you. That's his name. His name was not even Jehovah. That's there in the scripture. He said, my name Jehovah was I never known. See? All right? It's J-V-H-V, see? And there was no way to pronounce it. And the best they could do was call it Jehovah. All right? But he said, by my name Jehovah, by J-V-H-V, I was never known. See, there was no way to understand that. So the best you could do is go back to self-existing. You can go back and pick up the wordings then of Elohim and showing that Elohim means self-existing. All of those things running back to the point of understanding what his name is. But his name is Jesus. See, that should be the most simple thing for us to understand. Is you'd say to somebody, say, what's the name of God? Well, his name's God. No, God's not a name. God's a title. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tiskenu, et cetera, et cetera. That's titles to a name. But his name is Jesus. Well, then everything we pray and everything we do, the Bible says, is to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. That's why our baptism is correct. All of the things we have, see, following it, we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? That's simple to us. But do you realize that the biggest portion of the religious world does not believe that? They believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See? They won't take it and try to understand. All right? Because it's contrary in their wording and, you know, in their teachings coming down. All right? But we were trying to get up to a point there I was in the last message to understanding what the statement the prophet made. And by him making that statement, it sounds like contrary to common sense, but yet it is the only way once you get it lined up correctly in your mind. It's just like Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is there any trouble with that? I can tell you, because that's the way we baptize, to fulfill the Great Commission. See, I found that from the prophets, reading I use it that way. Of course, we ought to know it enough to use it, but when I baptize somebody, I'll say, to fulfill the Great Commission of baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I now baptize thee, my brother, sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? That's simple terminologies to us and simple truth. But to the world, it is baffling. Because they can't understand that. No, Father's Father. Well, Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. See, that way we can lean back into the word and find a real truth, but it'll come all the way. My emphasis is it comes all the way through. Just as we were talking about, let's see, in the, the dedication of the church. See, here's Moses taking in badger skins, et cetera, and made a tent. God was happy to come down and dwell in it. But that wasn't what he wanted. It was okay. It was fine. Then here comes David over really wanting to build God a house and supply the material. Because when he found out he couldn't do it, he turned it over to Solomon. Well, see, when Solomon built a house for God, God was so happy about that until he came down into those situations there and so was engulfed in the building till they couldn't even worship and couldn't do anything. Why? Because he was so happy, so pleased to dwell. But that still wasn't it. Trying to get a little point and slide something in there, see? All right. Then one day a baby was born. And that baby growed up and he was there on the River Jordan and John baptized him. And he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. There was the body, Hebrews 10:5, of Almighty God. Was that human body, and we'll get to it on the next stage too, more of it on the beginning of the creation of God and coming through that. But there it was. There was the fulfillment of the scriptures that God could come down and be pleased to dwell in a human vessel. But he was pleased to dwell in a building. All right, but it's like I was emphasizing to them. Now, don't forget now and think about it that when we go out the door, God goes out the door and it's an empty building till we get back, and he don't come in the building till we get back. Don't get all tied up in situations or something. Just be sensible. You know, if he wants to stay here, he can stay here. If he wants to go, we can go with. I'd rather think about him going with me or in me. Because a body thou hast prepared me. All right. That body, when it came forth, that was the body of Almighty God. That body was a bottle, you know, of 16 elements. And that was, as I said, we'll get over to the next stage or two, when it says the beginning of the creation of God. And Brother Brown said, when did this begin? He said, in the womb of a virgin. All right, we'll get to those stages as we go along. But I want you to just kind of drop back and stay with me in the thinking about what does the word beginning mean to you? Well, that's where something starts. Well, that's all right. That's human terminologies. You know, but what does really, you know, something beginning? The beginning of the creation of God. You mean God had a beginning? See? Beginning of the creation. Are you saying, well, God was non-existence and then he become existent? No. I've tried to explain that and people look at me, you know, and over the years I've tried my best to explain it. That, you know, you say, well, Brother Dale, do you mean before this world ever begun that God had a body? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I believe. You say, well, what kind of a body was it? It's 16 elements. It's better than this body. Let me quote the prophet about a theophany when we get over there. He said it's far more greater than your natural body. Far more greater than your hands. Far more greater than your eyes. See? It's more real. Alright? As we go back that away to comprehend eternal God, remember it's not going to become less. It's not something that is being done away with. See? Neither going forward are we going to leave something. No. It's in our thinking to where we can say, God is real. He's not like the wind. I've got a quote here from the prophet. He said he's a being. Said he's not like the wind. All right? See, now when you say God is a spirit, what do you think of? Our terminologies, now, let's say we're back of 20, 30 years ago, we used to think that way anyway. Well, we should be getting away from that much. But still, our terminologies about things is what's confusing us. God is a spirit. John 4:24. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Right. Well, what was the first man that God made? A spirit man. Why? Because God was a spirit. Okay, we're great. We'll follow that. I never believed that he didn't exist. Because see, the more you would go backward into understanding, you would find greater things. You mean to tell me you think that they could be back there somewhere, that he was tangible? Well, why not? The word of God is tangible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's pretty well tangible. The substance of what anything you hope for, that's what faith really is. And see, the further we would go back into eternity, you're never going to go back so far that you run out of God. Right? See, because you go back to self-existing. But then remember that when he was self-existing, he was far more real than we are as existing. Right? That's the way I believe it. That's the way I've always taught it. Why? Because I believe in one God. Don't do away with anything to try to explain one God. Let it explain itself. Let it unfold. And be able to understand, you know. And that way the things that is said by the prophet and the Bible won't be confusing. Like at scripture, God is a spirit. Well, he's just a spirit. He's just something floating around. Well, if he's floating around, he's something. Come on. Oh, no, he's a spirit. Well, a spirit is something. The only problem is we're trying to bring into our situation of looking at tangibles to try to bring him into that situation. Well, come on, he done been far beyond that. Because he done brought it into being. That was the point I was trying to get us at, to where, let's go ahead and pick up the ones, because I want to make sure we keep getting this. Go to number 3. Which is questions and answers on Genesis. This is the one that you read it through. That's number 2. Go to number 3. Okay. Now, if God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, what kind of a man did he create? A spirit man. Not a spirit. A spirit man. See, when I look at it, God is a spirit, I look at it as in this way. God is a spiritual being. Yes. Right. Now I've got something tangible that my eyes cannot see, that my hands cannot feel. But I've got something there that is called faith. That is then the substance of what things is. And it comes from faith. What is faith? Well, I right there in my hand, you know, I got faith. No. That won't control the world. That won't heal your body when you're sick. But if you got faith, it is the substance of what you're asking for. It's the evidence of things that is, real. All right? So now listen to what he's saying. What kind of a man did he make? All right. What is God? The Bible says God is a spirit. Right? Okay. Then if God is a spirit, then he created a spirit man. Right? Now, if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now to the one that asked the question, we'll find this. That God give dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man. But in his makeup up there, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle. Now, that is a spirit man. That is not a physical man. Spirit man, you remember the back emphasis on the message before? What did we cover? We're covering two things. Ways covering two parts. Bob Nim's been in, and everybody, and Brother Louise come in with the, foreknowledge, and well, praise God. Aaron coming along, hitting on it. Okay, we're all trying to do one thing. Get to see something real. You know, right? I'm talking about something real. I ain't talking about just a spirit floating around. But I will say it this way. I've never been drunk, never drank any, but I've always heard these people talk about that you get drunk and you get seeing pink elephants. Well, that guy'd run in front of a train probably get away from a pink elephant. But the pink elephant don't exist. That's the thoughts of his mind. All right, but listen, coming on down now. The beast of the field is just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. He was, in other words, Adam. The first man in the lower creations of God.
Amen.
Now remember, is who? Adam.
Amen.
In the lower, bringing it downward, not lower down, bringing it down to be able to comprehend. See, the first creation was God himself. First creation is God himself. I can just see a theologian here in Brother Branham say those things, you know. And he says, boy, that guy's all messed up. He don't know. But he's saying it the only way it can be said. You tell me any other way that can be said. How can you explain God, which is so far back that away, until it's eternity granted and this keeps going. And it's so far that away until it's eternity and still going. And how can you explain God? Well, he's just a spirit. No, he's not a spirit. The prophet said it, if you want it. He said he's a being. Said he's not like the wind. Not just something floating around, you know. He's a being. All right? He's a spiritual being. All right? So put that in your little computer brain parts and think about it. When you say God is a spirit, they say God is a spiritual being. He's a being. He's a person. Right? All right? Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, comes on. The beginning was the Word. You're coming on down to the man. But stay up in here. Until we'll get to stage two when we start talking about the Logos, the theophany, the Word, the creation, etc. And you'll see that then God is so real until you won't miss what is being said. So just think about it now. The first creation was God himself. Let's put it this way. The first thing that could be comprehended, understood. Was God himself. Now you can just keep going. You say, but Brother Dale, God is a spirit. Was there a time that he wasn't? No, there wasn't a time that he wasn't a spirit. Now, come on, listen. There's not a time that he wasn't God. We're just trying to explain it. Oh, no. He wasn't God because God is an object of worship. Well, God was an object of worship before man got here to worship him. So don't run that route. See, and it's our thinking. We bring our thinking into it and say, God is a spirit. Well, Brother Dale just don't understand. God is a spirit. Well, explain to me what a spirit is. A spirit can go through that wall and come back. Right? Let's see you do it. So there's something more powerful there than we're talking, you know, in our human terminologies. Something is more real than what our thoughts. All right? Now, if it's true that Moses saw I am at the burning bush, and that I am stayed so much in a connection to mankind until when Jesus came forth, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am that I am. Ever present for eternity. And that's his name. Not to just say his name is I am. See? He had a name before I am came into being. Now let me put it this way, because I'm going to correct my own thoughts, and but telling you something about Brother Brown says there was a time he didn't have a name. I mean, you know, that's no problem to me. There was a time he had no connection to mankind that would relate to a name. He had no reason for a name. He had no doing. There was nobody there. He existed alone. See, that's why that I thought it when Brother Luis was preaching earlier the other day. See, that's why people will say, well, you know, I was back there. Well, be careful how far you go back. Because you could predestinate yourself out of existence. Right? I mean, you would actually be taking yourself totally out of existence. You've got to remember the eternal life. Always was eternal. The prophet said, not your being here. Not what we are. But to follow it and see that the Bible explains one true and living God. And the Bible starts out, and the prophet started out, explaining God. All right? Now, you got a problem when you start doing that because of the human terminologies, as I've been saying over and over. That runs into our makeup and our mind and starts bouncing around with those little marbles in there, and it don't work too good. All right. But you see, the first creation was God himself. Now, was he nothing? And then he created himself. Well, I only ask one thing. Where did he get what he created himself from? If you're going to say he created his own self. No, get all of that. See, get that out of our mind and our thinking. Get it in there in the basis of understanding one thing. The word beginning sure means something that starts. A starting point. You got many terminologies, or points brought to it. But think of the fact that he always has been and always will be the eternal God. So there's no time for him to start that he, I mean, he wasn't back there. And there's no time for him to run out of over here. Just think about it. Think about then being as a time that... Let's just go to that scripture in John. All right? Now, what does it say? It says, the only begotten hath declared him. All right? The only begotten hath declared him. What does declare mean? To bring out into the open, or to show, or to make known. You know? Something coming into being. Something that you could not comprehend before, but all at once it can be comprehended. And once it does, it's more real than what this was over here that you're... Right? See, God is real, and that's the whole point. I keep bringing these where you'll think about it. You say, well, will he become God when he created the angels? What was he before then? That just means the angels worshiped him. What was he before then? You know, how did he exist before then? Was he non-existent? Now you're going to predestinate him clean out of existence. I'm trying to preach one God. I said this many, many years ago. I said, I didn't finish what I see. I said, one of these days I'll get around and preach on one God. Well, I'm around to trying it. Okay, just bear with me. To where that I can try to express it. If you don't agree with it, just come tell me. If you think that's a better way to explain it, come tell me. I'd sure love to know. Because, see, when God never just was non-existent, you know, I can't do this the way I want to, but I'm making this like a point that, see, you can't see this piece of paper. All right. So it's non-existent. There's nothing up here. Then all at once, here comes something. See, that's what you're thinking. That's what your mind is telling you. That there was a time he didn't exist. But then he existed. Now, think about it. See, I love the way the prophet says it like this. And see, then remember the other week I kept emphasizing. You know that Adam and Eve did not make God a father. He was already a father for them.
That's right.
They didn't make him a father. He was a father before then. He was God before then. He was all of these things. Back there, back in time, as we'd call it, but yet back in eternity. And so you'd say, well, that made him father. That didn't make him father for Adam and Eve. He was already the father. He already existed as a father. He was just not known as that. He was already God. He's always, you ever heard the prophet say, he's always been God. Well, then why do we want to put something? I got the quote where the prophet said it. Well, amen. But what are you trying to do with it? I mean, is it to you that there's somewhere that your God did not exist at all? And then he come into existence? Why not put it to the basis that he was always existed, but that he couldn't come into existence to the human mind? See? Because that's what really being brought out means. It means to bring him forth, or declare means, to lead out, to go before and all, to unfold. See? It means to come forth. What did he do? He declared him. There was no way. Listen. There was no way to understand God outside of the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ becoming that one that would first start dealing with, as we'll get to it later, as the Christ. Then dealing with him as the human element. Then dealing with him back into the church. Which looks like you're going backwards. You keep him going forward.
Right.
See, when this winds up and you see the way that I'm trying to bring it, you're going to see all God was he poured into Christ and all Christ in the church. You're going to see every move he makes is that much more.
Right. Yeah.
It ain't going to leave a gap. All God was, amen, he poured into Christ. Seal it off. Well, where's God? He ain't no more. You poured him over here. No. That makes him greater. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way I said it. That makes him greater, where he could take what he was and bring it into another form, amorphy, changed, and manifest himself finally one day until on the shores of Galilee walked a man that could say, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen. Amen.
And see, then that body will never be done away with.
Right. That's right.
But now we've got a prophet's message, thank God for it. See, that body was not eternal. It was born from a woman. It was created in the womb of a virgin.
Right. Right.
That body had to be made eternal in the resurrection and rapture. Back there of the Lord Jesus. The change, the ascension. All right? See, then it became eternal. But it'll never be separated no more. That's why I've always taught it. I always believed it. When we get there, we're not going to see a Father, a Son, a Holy Ghost, and this right. And Brother Ernie gets that floating, that dove floating around. I like him's way. Because he says them Catholics get that dove floating like that. But it's not going to be. When we get there, we'll see Jesus and realize that all the time he was God.
Amen. That's right.
He said, show us the Father. Then it suffices or satisfies. He said, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. But just keep in mind now what I'm talking about. All God was poured into Christ doesn't do away with God. It increases. Right? Because I like the way old brother Harris was preaching, you know. He said, that old devil, he said if he'd left Jesus alone, said he had one Jesus, one Christ. He said if he just left him alone. But instead of that, he jumps on him, he kills him, said first thing you know, you got 120. Then the next hour, a few later, you got 3,000. If he'd left him alone. But see, he couldn't do it. But follow me now. Why would a prophet say the first thing was God himself?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, to be able to fulfill all the scripture of the declaring, now listen, because that's what we read in John, but the Son hath declared him. Now, before you can bring that into being, you got to bring 4,000 years of existence on earth. Where was God then? Because that existence of coming into the Christ could be seen back there, but not fully made manifest. But then one day, here come a man. On earth. His name was Jesus. And upon him on the River Jordan. Right, I believe that. Those brothers were trying to preach it. If they'd just listened, I believe that. I believe that on the River Jordan, he became the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why, before that, when the Holy Ghost was there, he was a baby. He was a teenager. Right? It couldn't be the fullness at that time. He couldn't die for our sins at 2 years old.
That's right.
No, see, get your mind in the thinking gear. Alright? But see, one day, you see what was taking place. The Father stepped down in human flesh. Now listen for a second. That human flesh is called the Son of God. Okay? Son of God, huh? Now, he never declared himself to be the Son of God, so hold on, why? Why did he not declare himself to be the Son of God? Come on, hadn't you thought about it? Why did he not relate to himself as Son of God? He always related to himself as Son of Man. Now back to where Adam and Eve didn't make him father. Do you realize? Brother Branham made a statement one day and he said, in the Son of Man, he became the father he wanted to be. Man, that looks like human reproduction. Right? But no. Because you see, that's the point. You go back in God to where that he's there, and he's the first.
Amen.
And stage two, he's the Son.
Right.
Now you're to John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among. Now you've got it to where there was standing a man, the Word was standing in human flesh. Where was it before then? Through the prophets, through the men of old, through the time. I know that it hurts people's feelings for you to say things, and it hurts some people's feelings here one time for me to make the statement. Everybody was talking about Son of Man. I said, why talk about Son of Man? Where's the Son of God? And I said, would you raise your hand if you tell me where the Son of God started, or what is it, beginning? Everybody raised, he started 2,000 years ago. I said, no way. I said, even Scofield. Even those theologians come back there. And what did Brother Branham say in that statement a while ago? Out of the Logos came the Son of God. The Word. The Son of God was back there because remember now. Listen. You remember this from the last message? Father never created. The Son is the Creator. Because He's the Word. Not meaning He couldn't create. He just moved over in another form and began to create. Now listen, He moved over in another form and began to create, and we call Him the Son. Now He, who? God Almighty. Moved over in another form and we call Him the Son. Well, who was He before then? He was God Almighty. He moved over into another form and began to say, let there be. Now you can go back to Genesis and when it says, and God created the heavens and the earth. It don't say back there, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. No. Because the flesh man Jesus was back there. The one God is being revealed through the prophet, and we're talking about it. Who, or in other words, what is the beginning? Are you listening to the point? It took 4,000 years to come from a time-wise, come from a time of Genesis 1:1. God created heaven. It took 4,000 years. And God finally created a body to live in. Now may I quote the prophet? Because back there, he finished the physical creation. You said, well, Jesus was physical. Yeah, but that's a higher order. See? Go back there with me in the thinking that here is Almighty God. He's dwelt alone. There's nothing, nobody with Him or anything. He's self-existing. And He just steps over into another form. So He created Himself. He stepped over in another form. He became the Word. But then it took 4,000 years for that to materialize to be a flesh man. Right? It took 4,000 years for that Son of God, the Word, to keep creating until it would bring the prophets to bring the body, right? Am I with the prophet? The prophets brought the body. John was the last one to introduce the head. Jesus Christ was the head. All right. And there when He stepped out on the River Jordan, John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold, our Almighty God in human flesh. Isn't this easy to think about? Why the prophet would say it. His first creation was God Himself. Not a creation like that none existed and He created it. And because remember, if you're thinking that way, then you got somebody over here creating something over there. So be careful. Now, because that's what we got to do. And that's what I kept emphasizing in the last message. Brother Branham said, did God send a son? I got a bunch of quotes on that if you want to. Did God send a son? He said, no, He came Himself. That's See, when he stepped over into another form, he came himself. He didn't do away with that to make that non-existent. That just moved over with him. The Father just became the Son, which is God in another form. Right? And see, then that God created, and we'll get to those things, and he began to be into that beginning of the creation of God. But yet that was not the total fulfillment, because he would have to wait until the bride comes forth to be able to say to this age, the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen.
And meaning it's a bride.
Amen.
See? You're coming right down to where you are.
Amen.
And that's the way we're going to have to see it. We're going to have to see ourselves.
Amen.
And it's not God moving from one form to another and leave a vacuum. And he gets over here and he gets through with this when he moves over and then leaves a vacuum. Leaves a vacuum. Leaves a vacuum. No! He just reveals himself in another form. The finality of his natural doing took place in Jesus Christ, because there was the Son, as we read in the scripture in John. The Son hath declared him. Brought him out in the open. Showed him. Right? Because what did Jesus say? Now, you ever thought about this? What does God look like? Now, I know I'm stupid and crazy, but I get a thought every once in a while. What does God look like? See, I thank God that we've got what the prophet said. Hoffman was the closest, but now he didn't say it with all of it, but he said it was the closest to anything he'd ever seen, because he'd seen him out in the field. Right? If Jesus was God, being God in another form, his name is Jesus, he looks like Jesus. Now, wait a minute now. Well, what did Jesus look like? Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. Trying to preach one God. Trying to get one God down in a realm that for 30 years I've been trying to. So forgive me. Just bear with me. If I repeat myself, just unplug that one. You know, you can take my hearing aid. You can just take one of them out. I'm not silly. I'm just truthful. I know and realize this is one thing that this man knows and has known for a long time. You cannot change people. You cannot change their mind. They're going to keep that natural mind in their thinking. You've got to go to the inside man. I am not dealing with your body. I am not dealing with your second realm spirit. I'm dealing with your soul, talking to you. Because what did Brother Branham say? He said, God came himself. He said, now in body, he was a man. He said, but in spirit, he was God. Then another statement, he said, in body, he was a man. He said, in soul, he was God. So who was that man that was walking the shores of Galilee? God in another form called a son. Now what is he to be in the last days? God in another form called a bride. Called a bride. Because all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ, he pours into the church. Huh? Then he takes that church back to the Garden of Eden. Or returns her back to where she's supposed to be. Or restores her, may I say it this way, restores her to her original position.
Amen. That's right, sir. Amen.
You may not think like I do, and I'm glad, I guess maybe everybody don't, but see, I look at the things Brother Branham are saying. And I say, well, see, yeah, look there, he made a man in the garden that made him God. Oh, he was already God. He was already God. He always was God. He never was anything else. He just was not made manifest. See, Jesus come to declare or to bring him out in the open. He said, I do nothing until my Father shows me. Brother Branham, what did he say? He said he didn't do nothing without a vision. I'd be glad to give you these, because he said he didn't do nothing without a vision. He said, that's why I wait on him. He waited for a vision. Waited for an interpretation or a thought. But listen, to lead out or go before. See, beginning can be go before. All right, what's he going before? He's moving from one existence to another existence. And he doesn't lose anything. Everything in this existence goes with him. And then when he pours it into the church, all that's in existence of him all the way down is finalized and pouring into the church. See? That's why I like that, the scripture there where it says, you know, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Well, I think he says that every time he gives out the new birth.
Amen.
If he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he is pleased to dwell. Now you tell me I'm wrong there. I'll just ask you what reasonable sense you got. Because if he's in there, he's pleased to be there.
That's right?
Because you ain't going to force him in there. No. It's going to be a pleasing factor. So then what was it? The first creation was God himself. Now, go to number 5, brothers. Let's get number 5. I'm jumping over a couple, but you got it? Number 5. Now, when he said here that he emptied himself or poured himself, now, we would think like this, that he vomited up. Now see, that's our terminologies. That's our words that mean. That word that's used for there to empty himself up is to vomit out. That's human terminologies to explain it. See? That he vomited up. The English word of emptied or poured out from him. See, something went out of him that was different from him. Now there's your beginning that looks like it. See? Something went out that was different. But listen. But the word kenos in the Greek does not mean that he vomited up or his arm went off or his eye went out or another person. That is, he changed himself. He poured himself into another, himself into, amen, into another mask, into another form. Not another person went out of him, called the Holy Spirit. But it was he himself. Did you get it?
Amen.
God, all the fullness of Godhead bodily was in that person, Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone. Not a third person or a second person or a first person. Now that, explain that one. But the person, God veiled in human flesh. Yeah. He wasn't the third person, second person, or the first person. He wasn't the first person. He was the person of Almighty God. That's why he's not like the wind blowing. He's a being.
Amen.
Huh? But see, he stepped out. In other words, moved out into another form. Okay? Now listen. Get natural with it for a minute. All right, there was a time when Donnie was... born as a baby. Yeah. All right. Well, see, you know what? He's changed form since then. Right? But did he change persons? No, he's still the same person. Huh? He just changed his form. He just moved from one place to another place. You know how I've always tried to explain it. Brother Moat used to, he'd say, and a lot of people believe in, like God, in the back there at the upper room. He said it's like take an apple and cut it up and you pass out the pieces and you run out of apple and you ain't got nothing left. He said, that ain't it. Well, what is it? Like the fish that he'd take and the bread that he handed out. When he reached back, there was more. There was more. On the day of Pentecost, he went from one person to 3,120. That's a pretty good increase. How would you like to put a few dollars in the bank if they'd let you do it, you know? And you'd go for that. And then you'd have a pile of money in just a little bit. But think about it. See, that's what I was trying to get across the last message. Get it to the point of this one thing. God never sent another person. That's a Trinitarian concept, right? God never sent another person. He came himself to live in his people. Came to die as a human being. To do that, he had to take on another form. There's where he's declaring the Father. See? He didn't declare the Father too much in Genesis and all like that. But one day a man walked on the shores of Galilee. That man was Almighty God. In body, he was a human element. In spirit, he was a spirit man. But in soul, he was Almighty God. They killed him because he said, "You're a man making yourself God." No, he was God making himself a man. God manifesting himself in a man form, being a person. When we get there, as I said a while ago, we're going to see Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? You know, that's what I said I like about it. Because see, if we're going to believe Brother Branham, now he didn't say that Hoffman was exactly, he said it's close. Well, we know close to what Jesus looks like. But did you catch what I said a while ago? Jesus looked like his Father because he was his Father made manifest. But what are we talking about? We've seen Jesus. The Bible said we have handled with our own hands. Now that was when Jesus came into human flesh, right? The disciples and the things. They washed his feet. They done the things that, you know, what do you think about God? We're going to pick up the next one where Brother Brown said he goes into the next point of saying that he gave birth to his son. But don't forget this. He never gave birth to another person. He just stepped over in another form. He became the Father made manifest. Think on these things, church. What are we looking at? What are we trying to find? Brother Brown said, most people think that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. He said, now that's incorrect. No. God just stepped into another form. And when that form was not to be, say, it come out or went out or run out or whatever, but when it fulfilled its time, he stepped into another form called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same God, the same Jehovah God that came on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the same eternal God that back before the world ever begun, whatever they're doing, and he said, I'm going to just start this and let's see what it, you know, let it be.
Right.
We'll get to that back into some of these brothers and pick up their thoughts. What, because see, if you think about foreknowledge, you realize how far you can go back with foreknowledge? You can go back as far as there's a God to be thought of.
Right.
Foreknowledge. He didn't predestinate by his desires. He predestinated by his foreknowledge because he knew what was going to happen. See, but he knew that when he created man, he knew he would have to die. But he knew he couldn't do it in the form he was in. He couldn't do it as a baby laying in a cradle or a teenager running. He couldn't do it in none of that. He couldn't do it in the spiritual realm and it be done. That's the point that we look at. Remember the two creations we tried to cover? Spiritual realm, natural realm. First he created the spirit man because it was in the image of God. So what does God look like? Listen, the man that he made. That sensible enough?
Amen.
Right. Then, coming stages.
Right.
Just simply moving down, unveiling himself.
Amen.
Now he would never be happy. I'm going back to that dedication of the church. See, God was happy with Moses and the things that he'd done. He proved it. He came down. They couldn't minister. Huh? He proved he was happy in Solomon when he came down. And just, you know, you think about it. I remember thinking one day how many animals would be being killed in one day. And just hundreds of thousands of animals being killed. All of that going up and you say, my Lord, not if you're God. Not if you're God and you're looking down and saying, that's covering for sin. But then when he looked at it, he says, that's covering, but it'll only cover till the story's finished. Because David's going to, Solomon's going to build me a building. And that's going to stay there, but it ain't going to work. I'm going to have to step down in human flesh. Not send a son. Not another person or anything. Step down himself into another form.
Amen.
And become the Son of Man.
Amen.
Huh? He didn't say I'm a son of God. Because that was the situation to be declared later that when the bride of Christ would come forth with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your seven church ages, it would be Son of God. In the ages, he's Son of God. See, right at the end, it's Son of Man just for a little bit.
Yeah,
now, may I say it just a little bit on the top? You know that the Son of Man is the only sower of the seed?
Yeah, right.
According to the Bible.
Amen.
The Son of Man's the only sower of the seed. Son of God didn't sow no seed.
Right.
Son of Man sowed the seed of the entire New Testament.
Right.
He sowed the seed of his bride.
Right.
That way he was the father he wanted to be. When all of this can be comprehended and come down and dwell here with us and we can see it and then we can see just as far that away or that away and see the whole thing and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But see, don't forget these things until I get back to God came himself. and died for our sins. He made us his offspring, his children. He created his own bridegroom. I mean, a bride. The bridegroom created his own bride. Think on these things. Look. All through eternity, he would always be known as the I Am. Because that would be his name. But yet, I Am would not finish the story. But Jesus does. See? Brother Brown says on who is this Melchizedek? Knowing all things, all places, because of his omnipresence. His omniscience makes him omnipresent. He is a being. He's not like the wind. He's a being. He dwells in a house. I remember reading here a while back, not too long ago, that Bill Gates built a $50 million house sitting on this hillside, Oceanside or something. Wouldn't that be something for a $50 million house? God made his out of pure gold. But it's not pure gold. His house is in you. That was what made him happy when he could come and live. And what about today? When he can live in his bride and she can know who she is. And comprehend. Come on, musician. Comprehend and all. But just keep that in mind. What does beginning mean to you? We've went from eternity to eternity and never had a starting point nor a stopping point. I hope you listen that way to what I'm saying. I never had a starting point or a stopping point. You say, yeah, you did. Because no, you just go back there and you just keep on going. And what about the prophet saying that he had a house? Well, God don't need a house. No, we know all of that. He didn't need a temple in the wilderness. He didn't need those buildings. But they were put there. Amen. What about it? A body thou hast prepared me. A place for God to dwell the way he wanted it. In his bride that he creates by the word. Think on these things. Let's stand together.
Victory in Jesus.
Just think about him and what he's trying to show us.
No story. How a Savior came from glory. How he made the light on Calvary to save a wretched life.
Anybody have a need? Just remember, he's all in all. He's always been that. He always was God. He was just not made known until the angels worshiped him as that word God. All right. But it doesn't change him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's all God was. Now we're going to have to take the whole thing of what we covered and step back and say, okay, now we got a beginning. Now we can start the creation of the world. You got to get all that straight to know who he is and what's going on. Then you can look back and say, okay, now the world begins. But remember, man was made before the world as a spiritual being. One day he became a literal being, person. Think on these things.
Forever he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is new.
See, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three gods. It's three ways of that God manifesting himself, or revealing himself, or declaring himself. It's the same one God.
You'll see about the angel's sin and the old redemption story. And someday I'll sing up there.
What about him? He's real, isn't he?
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due. He plunged me to victory.
Just remember now, you on the airways and all here and everything, remember how that we're going this Sunday to stage two, as we'll call it, phase two or something, stage two. And you can come to church, you know, men, women, and all can come. You can come inside, find the seats, and we can do that, and the seats downstairs. We'll do as much as we can. And if you don't want to, you can go outside, you know, sit in your cars. They're still working. Everything's still there of all of that. You can do what you desire to do all those things. And we'll just go from that, and then maybe in another week or two, maybe we can get a little bit more, a little bit more. But remember, now remember what I told you, the emphasis. Wear a mask while you're here, outside or inside. Wear a mask. Everybody that can. I know the little babies and things, you can't do it. I saw one the other day, though. I got so tickled. I was in the store somewhere, I don't know, with my wife, and I looked over, and here comes this lady with this little baby, and it had that thing on, and it was just a smile. You could see it had in the corner of, you know, wasn't too straight, but it was on there. It's all right. Sure. We're not trying to hide behind a mask. We're just trying to put that forth toward it. And it's true that this thing is a floating air thing, you know, that gets in the airwaves and the dust, all of that, as much as it's all of the physical. So let's just do what we can to stay and not get no problem. Okay, what?
We need to come back to 2 o'clock.
Right.
1 o'clock, you've got all these.
Right. Okay. All right. We're now on to that. Number two. This coming Sunday will be 2 o'clock afternoon service. Everybody got it. Airwaves, everybody out there, you got it? We're going to the 2 o'clock because we don't have enough time from the one for you to run and get you something to eat. So do that. 2 o'clock afternoon service. We'll see how things goes. But remember, wear a mask. Remember, the least contact we can make, the better off it is. You know, you say, well, and I do. I miss the point. I've always been one of them old huggers. I like to get them brothers and just, you know, make them hug your neck. You know, this virus has put a lot of other things into motion.
Yeah.
And we do what we can to try to do that. But remember these that are sick and just pray that the Lord would bless. All right? Anybody else? Anything? Lord Jesus, we thank you for tonight and we pray. We know it was a simple repeat of the last message. And we made this simply repeat again, Lord. Because we want to get an understanding. We want to get to a place that we can comprehend, Lord, you and your ways and what you're doing. And just help us. by way of the prophet's message, we can follow your line up in the ways you want to go. So just have your way. Guide each and every one of us. Reach down and touch the sick ones, Lord. Remember our wife, Father, and touch her with this old breathing situation and all, Lord. Just let your ways be. Your thoughts be our ways that we would follow. Because we want to follow you. Forgive our sins. And lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.